As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Moonday, January the 17th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, indeed, and in fact, it most certainly is the right Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard birthday holiday in America today, and welcome to it. Well, anyway, let's continue. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, I think. Hard facts, certainly that. Workable solutions, well, maybe. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular, baby, and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, unless you happen to be a troll. Or you can pick up the telephone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can also call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Certainly your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, that postal zip zone. Once again, a big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, at AM 1710. Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals stagnate as hedge funds and the ETFs reduce gold holdings. We'll talk about that briefly, but yes, indeed, and in fact, you heard me right. This is the right Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard birthday and U.S. holiday, and we're going to celebrate it in right fashion, won't we? Of course, we'll take your calls and so much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Of course, all markets are closed on account of the Martin Luther King holiday, but nevertheless, spot gold never closes. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Gold trading off $2.40 an ounce at $1,359.40 a troy ounce. Silver off 26 cents in the spot market at $28.22 a troy ounce. Platinum off $14. You get the idea. Lots of red ink this morning. Platinum off $14 at $1,797 an ounce. And palladium off $5 at $789 an ounce. The lows and the highs so far in this morning in the gold spot market, $1,356.60 for a low, $1,366.10 for a high, a $10 spread shaping up there. But at $1,359.40, your gold is up year to year, $229.40 for a 20.30% return on your investment in Arum, that precious noble metal. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,357.50 for a couple bucks above that now. SPDR gold shares, big news here, really, looking at it from a day-to-day standpoint. The SPDR gold shares this morning trims off yet another 5.76 metric tons from their treasure chest. They claim this morning to be holding 1,259.33 metric tons. Much more to come. Stay tuned.
Citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.8thofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moonday, January the 17th, the third Monday in January, special day, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Somebody please tell me why. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts, trying to hold my mirth in check. Nevertheless, back into our market report for this morning one more time for the benefit of all those that were out there at the top of the hour news and weather break. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Of course, all the regular markets are closed, but the spot market rarely closes. Gold, we found off $2.40, trading at $1,359.40 a troy ounce. Silver off 26 cents at $28.22. Platinum up off 14 bucks at $17.97. And palladium off $5 at $789. You got it right. All of the precious metals are stagnating here this morning. Again, the lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 1356.60 for a low, 1366.10 for a high, a $10 spread. Again, the big news, SPDR gold shares, at least it's big news as far as I'm concerned. I've been following this stuff since the inception of these broadcasts. But the SPDR gold shares, again, this is the State Street Global Advisors. This is Barclays. This is the World Gold Council. This is the Rothschilds. The SPDR gold shares, again, this morning, they're dropping another 5.76 metric tons. Now, last Friday, they dropped 6.38 metric tons for a two-day total of 12.14 metric tons of gold sold back into the marketplace ostensibly this morning. They claim to be holding 1,259.33 metric tons left in their electronic treasure chest, valued on Straight Street at $55.3 billion. Keep an eye on your gold and silver coins this day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average Friday closed up 55 at 11,787. The NASDAQ closed up 20 at 2755. And the S&P 500 closed up 9 at 1293. Crude oil this morning off 54 cents in early trading. Yes, it's trading as well, $91 a barrel. The Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website seldom closes. And their trade-weighted basket of currencies, where we find the USDX, is up 20 basis points at 79.26. In the foreign exchange rates market, we find the Canadian loonie exchanging against the U.S. dollar up 26 basis points, still yet at parity with the U.S. dollar, $1 even. The Mexican peso, fill up your pockets this morning, folks. Mexican pesos, red hot pesos at 8 cents a pop. The euro off 80 basis points at $1.33 U.S. The British pound up 30 basis points at $1.59, and the Swiss franc solidly above parity with the U.S. dollar. Even though it moves down 18 basis points this morning, it still stands at $1.04 U.S. The bond market, the two-year bond, is yielding 0.58%. That's the bonded indebtedness of the United States, the U.S. Treasury bonds. The 10-year yield is at 3.33%, and the 30-year yield is at 4.53%. Of course, that impacts the mortgage markets, where we find the 15-year mortgage moving down from 4.32% a month ago to 4.02% as they try and induce more people to come inside the mortgage market. And the 30-year mortgage moves down from 5.00 to 4.74. Your gold to silver ratio this morning, 48.17 ounces of silver buys you 1 ounce of gold. Now, of course, for those of you that were listening to Hal Anthony's broadcast yesterday, Behind the Woodshed, heard right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, Hal did a stellar job of opening up to our understanding just exactly what is meant by this idea of equal rights under the law. Of course, he brought this to my attention almost a year ago, or perhaps even longer, but you can simply go up on the internet and go search for 42 U.S.C. 1981, the U.S. Code, Section 1981, the equal rights under the law. What do you get with your equal rights on this Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard birthday? Well, the Statement of Equal Rights reads this way: all persons within the jurisdiction of the United States shall have the same right in every state and territory to make and enforce contracts, to sue, be parties, give evidence, and to the full and equal benefit of all laws and proceedings for the security of persons and properties as is enjoyed by white citizens, and shall be subject to like punishments, pains, penalties, taxes, licenses, and exactions of every kind, and to no other. Thank you, Martin. But you really helped those people out, didn't you? Oh, yes, son, what a guy Martin Luther King was, that's for sure. But, you know, we can go back into history, just do a little bit here from The History of the Great American Fortunes by Gustavus Myers out of the Modern Library series that we've been sharing with you, where we find these words written: if recurring charges are any indication of corruption, the officials of the United States courts were constantly corruptly influenced or bribed to bring no criminal actions against men of wealth, or to cause cases finally to be dismissed if actions were brought. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Things just don't change. The calendar pages change. Another holy day comes. Another holy day goes. Somebody please tell me how you're supposed to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. What are we supposed to do? Go out in the hood, stand around on the boulevard, and go, wow, those signs, man. Look, dude. Damn, man. See it. Even slave traders, the abominations and horrors of whose traffic shocked the whole civilized world, seem to have brought immunity. And this, too, after the Civil War had begun. According to the Duke de Rochefort-Liena Court, or something along those lines, who traveled in the United States in 1795, quote, nearly 20 vessels from the harbors of the United States are employed in the importation of Negroes to Georgia and the West India Isles. In his, quote-unquote, Travels, Volume 2, page 292, The English translation, the Duke further told how the merchants of Rhode Island were the conductors of what he described as the accursed traffic. Interesting, huh? The merchants of Rhode Island. Wow. I thought this was a North versus South issue. I guess not. I guess it always just comes down to money, doesn't it? United States law prohibited the importation of slaves after the year of what? 1960? Oh, no. Try 1808. And outlawed the traffic as piracy. But the slave traffic continued in large sums of northern capital, particularly of New York. Spanish and Cuban capitals were invested in it. Spain, quote-unquote Spain, wrote Secretary of State Seward to Minister of to Spain Corner, K-O-E-R-N-E-R, you figure it out, in 1864, quote, is believed to be the only Christian country in whose dominions African Negroes are now introduced as slaves. That would be Spain, right? The Mulatto, Spain, the Murano Jew there. Spain, added Seward, had a treaty with Great Britain on the subject, but disregarded it. A lot of paper, little action. From May the 1st of 1852 to May the 1st of 1862, 26 American schooners and brigs were libeled by the government at the port of New York, charged with being engaged in the slave traffic. North versus South? Give me a break. Some were seized at New York and others on the coast of Africa. Many of these vessels were condemned. We'll find out more about that, the Black Panthers, and a whole bunch more. Stay tuned.
Wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I guess we could all go out this morning and ride on the front seat of the bus, or let's just continue with this. This is out of, once again, the history of the great American fortunes. Of course, you can't go to the post office and get your check today because the post offices are closed and the checks don't come until the later part of the month. Really don't quite understand what the significance is of the third Monday of January, but, yeah, oh well, what do I know about the holy days? Continuing, I don't know if that's going to be an economic boost. I don't know. Is Martin Luther? Well, it was certainly an economic boost for all the prison industries in America. You know, those Martin Luther King Boulevard signs were always in caps, you know, and they were high, big text and stuff like that. They were about 16, 17 feet long in Seattle when they put them up. They had to put up all new kind of brackets and holders and things like that just to be able to suspend these huge vineyards for the good Martin Luther, for the right reverend. Anyway, back to the discussion here. Again, May the 1st of 1852 to May the 1st of 1862, 26 American schooners and brigs libeled by the government at the port of New York charged with being engaged in the slave traffic. Some were seized, and others on the coast of Africa, many of these vessels were condemned. All right? Very interesting here. Seward, again, that's just Seward. Seward's folly. Of course, he brought Alaska to us, and he was after Hawaii as well. Seward wrote officially to Lord Lyons that a steamship had recently landed with more than 1,000 Negroes near Cardenas or Sagua, Cuba, and that very prominent and wealthy persons are said to be implicated in this business, and that it was believed the steamer went to Nassau after landing the Negroes. Notice they're not saying blacks or African-Americans. That didn't come along yet. Under Spanish law, it was provided that all African Negroes captured by the Spanish government should be declared emancipados. Emancipados. Interesting here now. Emancipation. Emancipados. And distributed among the planters and others for a monthly compensation. Right? So they were emancipated and then they were distributed among the planters for a monthly compensation. Pretty handy deal there, huh? But Thomas Savage, U.S. Vice Consul General at Havana, in describing the system, wrote to Seward, quote, "A little gold judiciously distributed among the cura and the captains of the district, etc., will establish the fact of the Negro's alleged decease, and the emancipado, so reported as dead, remains a slave for life." Of course, it's not conspiracy theory. This is out of the U.S. Senate documents, 1861 to 1862, volume 5, document number 53, and the first session, 38th Congress, 1863 to 1864, part 2, document number 48. This is the way Gustavus Myers, the early muckraker here, has documented this entire text. On June the 19th, 1861, the bark Augusta was seized by the United States Marshal Robert Murray at Green Point, Long Island, on the charge of being fitted out as a slaver to go to Africa, and was condemned. A party of capitalists, headed by Appleton Oak Smith and his brother, scions of a well-known family, were financing the expedition. To Murray's amazement, the U.S. District Attorney's Office at New York, not Selma, honey, New York, then allowed the vessel to be bonded for an insignificant sum and licensed her to clear the port. Hastening after her, Murray again seized the Augusta at Fire Island. He then formally and circumstantially charged collusion between the slave trade interests and certain officers of the federal judiciary at New York. The Secretary of the Interior subsequently decided that collusion had not been proved. Horace Greeley's editorials of the day expressed the greatest indignation at this attempted cheating of justice. The case was only one of numerous such cases. Many a time, slave traders had succeeded in having actions against them dropped or dismissed. And then he goes on in this section and begins to talk about how the North was raping the federal government, preparing for war with the South by selling all of the armament to the South. Isn't that the way it typically goes? Well, this is a rather interesting book in my library. It was one of those unusual finds. Going into a bookstore one day where they have all the books stacked up and stacked up and stacked up. Don't recall which bookstore it was, but they were definitely liquidating books that weren't selling very well. And this one caught my eye. The Free Speech Movement, Coming of Age in the 1960s. The Free Speech Movement, Coming of Age in the 1960s by David Lance Goines. David Lance Goines, this was published, copyright 1993 by David Lance Goines. And it was published by 10 Speed Press out of Berkeley, California. You can't get any closer to the beast than that. All right? And here we drop back in about page 509 in this lengthy tome. A body in motion tends to remain in motion. This is the title of the chapter. We were so scared. Listen now to the terminology. What is this all about, the free speech movement? You know, back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, as all of this very unsavory stuff started coming to a head, segregation becoming more and more part of the discussion, the free speech movement in California really took steam, all right, on the California campuses and in some other places. Everybody knows about the unrest and the shootings at Kent State. But there was a lot of action that was happening in California at Berkeley, and a lot of these people were Jewish. A lot of them were not, if not just straight-up communists, certainly socialists and Marxists, all right? But they had an idea. They had a real big dream. They had a really big idea. And it was this free speech movement. It was rather interesting. A lot of people took part in it. I got there kind of late. This is all too early even for me. But I was into this process about 1971, 72. Stayed for a while in Berkeley, California. Anyway, we were so scared of offending each other with our roles. Now I'm reading right out of the book here. We were so scared of offending each other with our roles so undefined that each kept bowing to the other in an utterly foolish sort of dance. He had never sat at a table with a white woman, and since that situation is within the heart of the mess of the South, it was not something done easily. I'd been trying to talk with him for weeks without success, and now realized that in some extraordinary paradox, he would never think of us as equal until I ordered him to do so. I begged him to sit down. He wouldn't. I told him to sit down. He did, in great confusion. Somehow or other, everything was all right after that. It was rather difficult to break these kinds of bonds, break these barriers between the whites and the Negroes in the South, true enough. And that was written by Sally Belfrage, a white student nonviolent coordinating committee volunteer the summer of 1964. They were lending their hand to the segregation, anti-segregation movement in Alabama and other places in Louisiana and other places in the South. And in the summer times, whole busloads of students and carloads of students would go from Berkeley, California, down to the South to assist in this agitation, the revolution, if you will, proletariat against the bourgeoisie, emancipation of the First Order. By January 1965, the free speech movement had come full circle, and its activists merged imperceptibly with the revived civil rights movement. Jack and I borrowed his girlfriend Phoebe's piece of junk fugitive from the scrapyard two-tone car and drove to Los Angeles in the rain to be present at a statewide Congress of Racial Equality Convention. It was heavy-duty politics, and boy was it ever. Bill Bradley of San Francisco CORE, C-O-R-E, introduced a motion to restrict the rights of campus-based CORE chapters, a move aimed at the Berkeley Campus CORE group. It was part of a new development toward nationalism in CORE, which we didn't understand at the time, he writes, parenthetically. And it was all mixed up with some controversy over the handling of a statewide CORE campaign aimed at the Bank of America. Funny, Bank of America back in the news again. Oh, yes, just another page on the calendar, you know, just another page on the calendar. Pick it up right there, Berkeley, California, civil rights movement, Black Panthers, and so much more.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And usually at this time of the year, I avoid the stores like the plague that it is, you know, because all those red hearts and all that stuff around the Valentine season, well, it gets kind of revolting to me, kind of a little bit too sickly sweet. But I was in the grocery over the weekend to get some bread and some other items for the kitchen and didn't notice that they had any Martin Luther King Boulevard Junior Day holiday extravaganza rolled out at all. So I guess this is not really helping the marketplace this weekend. And although the markets are closed, maybe somebody could clue me in. Just how does this holiday benefit this country? Anyway, back to the discussion. Our group attended in force, he says. We were gearing up for the Jack London Square demonstrations. Boy, you got to know Jack London, all right? There was a whole bunch of these houses that were set up all around America. All these reading circles and these reading groups. All this is the carryover, of course, from Lord and Lady Amberley and Bertrand Russell, you know, his parents, and the rise of the Fabian Socialists and the Positivists in England. All right? That's where it all comes from. You know, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, isn't it? Tom Sawyer and all that, Knickknacker. That's N-I-K-K-E-R. That's Danish, I believe it is, or Dutch. Right out of the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. You can find it there. N-I-K-K-E-R. I believe that's really where the derogatory term came from. But, you know, that's the way it is when we can't pronounce foreign languages very well, or we hear them being shouted about on the docks in New York. You might pick up a word like that and think it's funny. Anyway, so continue. Our group attended in force. This is the idea of becoming vocal local, and boy, were they ever in the free speech movement. We were getting geared up for the Jack London Square demonstrations and getting ready to jump back into civil rights activism with all 4 feet. Humans and other animals. We arrived with typewriters and mimeo machines and immediately set up a working office at the convention site. We impressed everyone with our level of organization and chutzpah. A chutzpah. Tells you who they were. And we won our issue of representation for campus chapters. We also played a large role in the proceedings of the convention. As a result, the major statewide leaders of CORE hated us from then on. Jack and I stayed with some L.A. CORE girls who were neither impressed by our credentials as genuine radicals and Purple Heart demonstrators by, nor bowled over by our personal charms. They were nice enough to us, but they did not put out. Of course, you can say that sort of thing when you, you know, have freedom of speech, you know. And that's what this was all about, you know, the freedom of speech. You could speak your mind, both in prose and in print and on the radio. That winter, I became heavily involved in civil rights marches, demonstrations, and picketing. After getting arrested at Sproul Hall, I went on to get arrested about once a week for a period of time. I rang up 14 arrests, all told, if you count the times I was picked up for no particular reason and cut loose again without being charged. And that did happen. That happened from time to time. You might just be standing there on a street corner with your hair halfway down your back, a knapsack on your back, and a guitar case in your hand, and all of a sudden the cops would swoop out of no place and bust you and take you downtown for an overnight. Might have happened to somebody, you know. And it did. Amazing. And fighting somebody else's fight is a bad idea. He has to fight for himself, or it doesn't count, and it will have to be done all over again sometimes. In 1854... a conference of Negroes declared, quote, "It is emphatically our battle. No one else can fight it for us. Our relations to the anti-slavery movement must be and are changed. Instead of depending upon it, we must lead it," close quote. In June of 1966, Stokey Carmichael, remember his name, and John Hullett of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee created the Black Panther Party in Lowndes County, Alabama. Right after this, the SNCC threw out all the white people. Having had enough of passive resistance, their stated goal was black power. Baby, wasn't it ever. Remember that upraised fist and the big fro? Of course you do. Shortly after this, I first heard black people referred to white people as honkies. You wanted to know where that came in? There you go. As honkies. In the same spirit, on July the 5th of 1967, CORE dropped the word multiracial from descriptions of its membership. This made the white civil rights activists really unhappy. Quote, "After all we've done for them," close quote. Swear to God, I actually heard people say it. But Tough the S-bomb, we won't drop on air, but that's what he's written here. But Tough S-bomb, it was the only way to go. If you have an organization in which there are skilled, educated, experienced white kids bursting with vitamins and enthusiasm, and unskilled, uneducated, inexperienced black people who all their lives have feared and deferred to whites, there is a natural tendency to let the people who can do the work well and who want to do the work do it. So you have a white typist and a white bookkeeper, and all the skilled office and coordinating jobs get done by the white kids, and the black people don't learn anything, except maybe to defer to white kids. The white kids, willy-nilly, gravitate into positions of authority and power, like Bill and Hillary Clinton, Morris Sleaze, and the rest of them, and the people for whom all this is, in theory, undertaken, don't get any experience whatsoever doing what they really must learn to do, and boy, did it take me a while to figure this out. At any rate, continuing here, before all this happened, we white kids did our level best to assist in the burgeoning civil rights movement. Charity begins at home, and the first object of our attentions was the nation's highest volume restaurant, good old Spenger's Fish Grotto down on 4th Street. My well-honed skills as a firebrand and song leader fit right in. We cooled Spenger's right smart and went to the much tougher nut, the restaurants of Oakland's trying hard to be snazzy but not quite making it, Jack London Square. The foot of Broadway soon rang out with civil rights songs and the cheery clangor of the paddy wagon. These bastions of Oakland's cherished Jim Crow heritage occupied our undivided energies every Friday and Saturday night for months. The harassment cut badly into their trade, and one after the other they saw that the better part of value was to cave in and hire a Negro or two in some conspicuous position. This is first-hand accounts, friends. This is the real deal. This isn't the nightly news spin, all right? There was lots of agitation going on at this time period in American history on the streets of America that just seemed to be swept away down the memory hole. One particularly memorable technique was the use of a sailboat that, piloted by Gene Novak, slowly sailed back and forth under the eyes of the Bayside diners, bearing a banner blazoned with the words, "Freedom Now." Freedom now, my friends. There's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Freedom is popular. The first evening it was brought into play, I was busted by the Oakland cops for no reason that anybody could figure, and almost as soon as I was bailed out, the charges were dropped. When Jack trusted me to my fledgling wings as a civil rights organizer, and under his tutelage, I devised the bizarre plan of instant demonstrations. Instant demonstrations. With the FSM phone tree at my disposal, I could get hold of anywhere from a few dozen to a few thousand demonstrators at the drop of a hat. And for a while, I did just that. An instant demonstration, though planned, was unannounced. All of a sudden, demonstrators would descend like a wolf on the fold on some luckless batard whose restaurant or business we had targeted, whooping and hollering, chanting and singing, waving picket signs and making a tremendous fuss. This civil rights bolt from the blue may or may not have furthered the cause much, but it did serve to confuse and terrify our targets and bothered the sand out of the cops, who never knew which way to jump. Instant picketing was called off by Corps on March the 11th of 1965 because, quote, the police gave in. This is baloney, of course. The real reason that was that if nobody knew when or where the confrontation was going to occur, the newsmen couldn't come, the cops didn't come, and nobody paid any real attention. The best laid plans of mice and men, bullhorn on the sidewalk with placards blazing. Well, finally, as with the FSM, I spent time marching, singing, rallying, hell-raising, and getting busted on behalf of our dusky brethren is a complete blur. What did I live? What did I eat? Where did I live? Who did I sleep with? I have no clear idea. Fragments of memory, like shards of glass, flashbulbs illuminating a darkened museum are all I have. Vignettes, snapshots with no dates, pieces of conversation, scraps of paper inscribed with enigmatic notes. Nothing comes together clearly, but I do remember having one hell of a good time.
Citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So again, once again, and just trying to wrap our minds around what is the real meaning of the Right Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard birthday U.S. holiday and why it matters and really how would one ever even approach trying to celebrate. I guess you could stay home today. You'll be forced to stay home today if you work for any place that, you know, got government. Of course, don't expect this to be a paid holiday. You get the same kind of pains, penalties, taxes, and exactions of every kind. Now that we're all in the same hopper together. But throughout this whole time period, I've just shared with you, in the beginning of this new civil rights period, we found a lot of agitators. And those agitators, and I guess I've rolled this one out for you before, you know, there was the Beat era. You go back to Desolation Angels, Dharma Bums, Jack Kerouac, Ken Kesey, and all of that, you know. And before that, the other writers and all of the Hull House and all of the rest of these places where you'd have these little hotbed groups forming up. I've shared it right out of the Proletarian Lessons, reading directly out of their sources. We've gone through and tracked out the rise of Zionism in Russia and how the State of Israel came out of that and so on and so forth. And the rise of Theodore Herzl and all of that nonsense. It's all the same bailiwick. It's the same puddle, if you will. To swim around in. But we went through the Beat era, then the Beatniks, you know, that's the guys with the goatees and the bongos and the black, you know, t-shirts and all of that, the flautists and the women, you know, so nicely and nattily dressed. Wow, those were times. Black leotards, you know, on a short skirt. Wow. Uh-huh. Some kind of a knit shawl over their shoulders, just crooning into a microphone in a beer bar someplace. We went from that into the anti-war protests, the civil rights protests, the civil rights protesting. Lots of protesting, signs, marching, singing. Then all of the folk songs came out, you know, the Arlo Guthries, and even long before him, others, you know, writing and playing music, you know, the basic three chord groups. You could just go on and on, round and round endlessly with that, kind of on the order of the Negro spiritual musics, etc., you know. And then out of that, of course, we come into this new thing that happened in California, coast of California, the first Earth Day, the oil spill in Santa Barbara. We've talked about all of that back while Macondo was gently weeping. Right? Then out of that, we come into this time period where the hippies started to form communes as the kibbutzism really started to take off in Israel. And Berobitzan, the Jewish Autonomous Oblast, few people know about that, but they weren't successful there with their communes either, largely because they had to do the work themselves, and certain people don't like to work, and so that didn't work out too well for them, even though they had spirited volunteers coming over from the United States bringing their money and their spades. From that, of course, we went from anti-war demonstrators to the flower children and the communes, the hippy-dippies and all that. Then the hippy-dippy weathermen came on, the Black Panthers came on. We started to have some real fierce radicalism, more violence involved in all of that, back and forth. Of course, Ronald Reagan said if they want blood, give it to them. And then we had the shootings at Kent State, went through all that process. And then out of that emerged the hippies, of course. And from the hippies, when they grew another year or two older and started to graduate from school, and these are the people back in, oh, let's say, the Dr. Stan age range, the, who could we look at, G. Edward Griffin's age range. They're older than I am by about 10 years, maybe. They might be in their early, very early 70s at this time, Robert Chapman's age group, all that. Okay, so then they go in, they've graduated from school, they've got their doctorates, they've got their master's and doctorates, and they go in, and instead of railing against Big Brother, they become Big Brother. The yippies emerged. All right? And so then the yippies began to take hold. University of Chicago, Leo Strauss, all of that, you know. Then we get the emergence of the neocons and the Republicans under Ronnie Reagan's and that sort of ilk. And they continue all the way to the day, you know, with Mr. Boner, Eric Cantor, and the rest, all still doing the things they do. But it's ultimately bit them in the butt just as it's destroying our country, because socialism and collectivism don't work, and it doesn't matter how you paint it. It's still just paint, all right? A thin veneer, a failed social model, one that cannot work and will not work, one that cannot be sustained but with your money and mine. And so now it shouldn't be a surprise as this decays after 40 years, didn't take long. But as it decays and the moral fabric of this country was turned inside out, upside down, and free speech triumphs above all, it shouldn't be surprising then to find this National Governors Association now finally coming in and getting on the bandwagon, and they're going to reduce the size and the effectiveness of state governments. They'll reduce the size and the effectiveness of county governments, and we'll start merging them all under a new global governance scheme under the computing cloud, the internet. It's rather interesting, this article here that I've got in front of me on the website, but if you want to follow along, it's nga.org, nga.org. You can go right to their homepage, Washington Governors and so on and so forth. But we're going to jump over here to redesigning government. And this is really what William Jefferson, you know, card-carrying communist that he was too. Hillary's no better. Barry the Usurper is just another stripe in the same banner. But now we're talking about redesigning state governments. We've had the reinvention of government. That was Al Gore's program, Bill Clinton's program, where we were going to attract, we were going to retain, we were going to hire the best and the brightest minds in America to work for government. Boy, didn't they. And the size of government just absolutely mushroomed. It got so big that it became so top-heavy and unsustainable, if you will, that it's collapsed. And it's collapsing now, and we're totally bankrupt, destitute. And now, through the system of patronage, it's bit them so thoroughly in the bottom that they can't, you know, get away from the reality. Now they're redesigning government once again. States are facing a protracted budget crisis like none seen in the last 30 years, and perhaps not seen since the Great Depression. State balance sheets face a long, slow climb towards fiscal health and may not reach pre-recession revenue levels for years to come. As a result, many states have launched urgent efforts to redesign and downsize government. Downsize DC? I think there's a website out there by that name. Over the next several years, governors will be grappling with hard choices concerning government's roles, responsibilities, and organizations. And isn't it curious? Everyone's out there now with their 10th Amendment sign, you know, kind of waving that back and forth again. And the papers and resources below describe the current fiscal environment for states and some of the efforts underway to redesign government to meet the new austere realities. New austere realities. You thought this was just something happening over in, what, Europe maybe? Don't think so. Don't think so. Redesigning and reinventing government and austerity in government, it's all coming to a town near you. Watch as all the things that you really need become exceedingly expensive, and the things that you don't need, those will just go away. They'll be vague memories. They'll be wiped away. You know, the slate will just be cleaned up. You can forget about it because it ain't going to happen there. You know, we don't cover that here. We don't cover that anymore, you know. So it's going to be kind of interesting. State government redesign efforts for 2009 and 2010. This is a Lauren Stewart contact. Executive summary. States have experienced record budget shortfalls over the past several years due to sharp declines in state revenues. But remember, don't be completely deceived. Visit the CAFRA1.com. Visit with Walter Buren's research. Go up and look at CorporationNation.com and realize who's actually running our governance system, this corporate governance model, through all the pension funds, you know, they're backing out now of gold and silver, ostensibly. They'll be back. But right now they're backing out of it, they say. So just kind of take some of this in stride. Let's understand it a little better. States have experienced record budget shortfalls over the past several years. You cannot continue indefinitely to rob from Peter to pay Paul. Eventually, poor Peter is broke, disheartened, downtrodden, loses all interest in having business and being productive. His productivity begins to wane. More government employees are hired. It takes more and more Peters to support the Paul parasites, and the whole system just starts to collapse. In response, governors have taken record measures to downsize and redesign state governments during the 2009 and 2010 state fiscal years. Such efforts will likely continue over the near future. Now we'll pick that up right after this, so do stay tuned.
Wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. Liberty PolitiStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, January the 17th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Now, in the second hour of today's broadcast, in the first hour, we went over some of the highlights, if you will, of this Right Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard birthday U.S. holiday in perspective, how it came to exist, how it came to pass, and what are the downsides of that with 42 U.S.C. 1981. Anyway, now we're taking a look at some of the downside of an even greater continuation of pretty much the same theme, and this off of the National Governors Association.org website. We continue out of this PDF document, about 26 pages long. I'm going to cover a couple of these bullet points as we go through this discussion, and then we'll go into some other information. But states, again, have experienced record budget shortfalls over the past years due to sharp declines in state revenues. But budget is just part of the discussion, all right? That's what you see. It's not what they have. It's just what they'll show you, all right? In response, governors have taken record measures to downsize and redesign state governments during the 2009 and 2010 state fiscal years. Such efforts likely will continue over the near future. Economists predict that state revenues in real terms may not reach 2008 levels until late fiscal 2012 or early 2013. Are you saddled up and ready to ride for the long term? At the same time, the cost of government services will continue to rise. Of course, the dollar is going into the tank. Everything's going to go up. That's why you do want to protect what little savings you may have by stashing away some silver and gold. Take heart, little flock. They might be dumping it out of the electronic exchange for the SPDR gold shares, but there's a lot of people that are holding physical that aren't budging. At the same time, the cost of government services will continue to rise, as will ongoing liabilities related to health care, pensions, and other benefits. The entire baby boomer generation is coming onto the teat right about now. States also will have to deal with many long-term investments that have been deferred. Thus, state budgets may not recover until the end of the decade. The NGA Center for Best Practices, don't you love that, Best Practices, the NGA National Governors Center, has been tracking states' efforts to downsize and redesign government. In federal year 2009 and 2010, a broad range of budget cuts and programmatic changes were enacted. Some of the changes are temporary, but most reflect a new normal for the state government in the long term. Why is it that all of the articles that we read on Bloomberg are mirrored in this discussion here, and this at the level of the National Governors Association? Of course, they're just floating the propaganda in Bloomberg to get you ready for the new reality, the new America. At least, that's be the really new deal. At least 15 states conducted government-wide efficiency reviews to identify areas of state government that can be made more efficient and less costly. At least 18 states have reorganized agencies. Watch that now. Reorganization oftentimes indicates a bankruptcy in progress, and more than 20 states have altered employee compensation, including enacting pension reforms. Of course, nobody knows this stuff better than Vicki Davis. Let's go out to Idaho, and Vicki, good morning.
Good morning, Will. Yeah, this is my favorite subject, of course, the reinvention of government. And this move to redesign state government. It's all part of the normalization process. You know, these reinventors of our government, they've looked at all the state governments and they've found the common functions, which they're all common because, of course, the federal government mandates everything that the states do. But now they're rolling that up under federal control.
That's exactly right. And we're going to continue with this thread and your calls right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on our Monday, January the 17th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Visiting this morning in the second hour with Vicki Davis, going over the National Governors Association.org. Their plans for redesigning, downsizing state governments and bringing on the austerity that we've heard about coming out of the European Union. But, Vicki, this is a rather interesting set of links that you sent to me. This issue, they continue here, this issue brief examines these actions and others that the governors have been taking to deal with the austere budget reality. The actions include the following policy areas. The first one I found rather enlightening. You know, we live in this police state. We've gotten to the point now where corporations run all of our prison systems. It's quite a profitable deal, whether you're housing prisoners or whether you're working the prisoners in slave labor. But this, if we can believe it, They say that corrections, many states have found that the best opportunity for savings in corrections is to stop building or to even close prisons. To do so...
Okay. Now, if you had real crime, would that make sense?
I'm trying to do this with a straight face, honey. To do so, states have moved forward with efforts to safely reduce prison populations through sentencing reform, improved reentry programs, and enhanced community parole and probation oversight. What do you make of that, Vicki?
Well, they're retraining them to be TSA officers. you take the, you know, worst criminals and you distribute them, make them school guards and stuff. No, it makes no sense at all, does it? If you had real crime, real criminals, you wouldn't be closing prisons. So, but we have a lot of, criminal offenses that are really victimless crimes, you know, like pot, for example, or, drunk drivers who didn't hit anybody, they just got unlucky and got pulled over.
I don't know whether this will spark really, I don't know whether this will really spark a change in the legal process in this country. You know, when we understand, you know, the original common law, I mean, if there was no victim, there was no crime. But of course, all that changed long ago, certainly in our lifetimes. We've lived our entire lives where things that were called crime, you know, didn't have to be associated with any harm or damage done to anyone whatsoever. The whole idea of, you know, no victim, no crime, you know, has been, as they say, cliche or trite as it might be, thrown under the bus, you know, along with some of the demonstrators. But I don't see how we can possibly make this kind of a model happen. Now, George Gordon has a rather novel take, George Gordon Law Hour, he has a rather novel take on this, and that is that, you know, the reason, one of the primary reasons why we have so blessed much crime in this country is that we have so many police. You know that productivity demands that the more police you hire, the more people have to be caught and popped and incarcerated and run through the legal system. And if you had fewer and fewer police, you'd have less and less crime. Now, it's kind of left-handed logic, but it does make a little bit of sense, Vicki.
Well, and don't forget about the bail bondsmen. You know, we got to keep them in business, and they can only stay in business as long as they keep increasing their profit. And how do they increase their profit? Well, you have to increase the price of the bond, which means that you have to bump up the value of the crime, right? Make it a more valuable crime, then you can bump up the bail, and then the bail bondsmen make more money.
Well, you know, one time if someone was actually a felon, you know, they were running the risk. They were on the razor edge of Occam's razor of actually being put to death. Felony was oftentimes a death sentence, you know. But today, anything from blowing your nostrils on a street corner, you know, to maybe wearing the wrong color T-shirt on Tuesdays can be classed a felony, but it's inside of a civil court, not a criminal court. No one really ever seems to be convicted of a crime. What typically happens is people plea out. They plea out. They say, okay, I'm guilty. And then the court just summarily sends them off to the work camp.
Yeah, well, you know, those work camps are pretty darn profitable. That's prisoners are slave labor. You know, they get paid a few cents an hour, and they're producing, you know, what somebody on the outside would get paid $10 or $12 an hour to do. So, I mean, you know, it's just a great business model the way around.
It certainly is, and with, you know, the advent of the Right Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard street signs, you know, that made a lot of money for the prison industry because they had to redesign, redevelop, and retool to make those enormously long fold-out wing signs, you know. But that was, you know, just kind of one of the things that happened all across America, by the way. At every intersection, you know, you'd have a Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard road sign. But, you know, we shouldn't dwell on that too much. But the idea, though, of the idea of stop building prisons or even close the prisons is rather interesting. K-12 education, governors have tried not to reduce funding for K-12 education. Of course, it's not K-12 around here. They have pre-K-1, pre-K-2, and pre-K-3, and then you go into K-12. So we're actually, even though in Missouri the Constitution provides for financing K-12, They're using school property and school funding for preschool education, of all things. But they've tried not to reduce funding for K-12 education and tried instead to achieve a greater efficiency with existing resources. Does that mean, Vicki, that we're going to go from having two and three teachers in one classroom teaching 12 children back to a 40-student classroom with one teacher at the front?
No, it means that they're going to go back to having, they're going to have one teacher for lots of children, and they're going to give all the children a laptop, and that their education will be on the internet. That's what our state superintendent of schools is planning on doing, is, you know, a laptop for everybody. And never mind the fact that children, if I had my way, we wouldn't have computers in school, period, end of story. And I say that as a person who is an internet addict, who has worked at a keyboard for 40 years, and 15 of that on the internet. And they should not be on, because the computers and technology is only one tool. And for their whole life, the schools are organizing around the concept of technology, of these children being attached to the internet tube like an umbilical cord for their whole entire life. And that's really not the way a real life works.
Well, so let's take that and run it out to some of the things that we've discussed in the past. If we could understand that one of the ways to reduce the cost of doing education is just to go ahead and eliminate school buildings entirely so that the young people stay at home, all right, and that they have a computer system that their parents are required to provide that then connects to the electronic Ms. Jane, who is the teacher. They could get all of their education at home sitting at a computer with little or no interaction with anyone other than that screen. Is that one of the possibilities that you come into?
Well, that's what they're planning on doing, but it's not the parents that are going to be buying the computer. It's going to be the school district, and all they're going to do is take the money that is now paid to a school teacher, and they're going to transfer that money to the budget that does procurements on computers and software and networks and technology and technologists.
Oh, baby. I want to get into that podcast.
The Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
Well, isn't it amazing up on the internet? One of our chatters in the chat room dropped this in for our use and understanding. How to celebrate the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard holiday. He says here, this is off of eHow, how to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, in case you were concerned or confused, maybe you didn't understand. Number one, they say these are instructions, by the way. These are instructions on how to celebrate the birthday. All right, read up on King's life. If you don't have time to read, or don't know how, I could say, read a biography of Martin Luther King Jr. You can at least go to the web to gather, if you have an internet-connected computer, or you go to a public library to gather the pertinent historical facts. His protest against the Montgomery, Alabama bus laws in 1955, his march on Washington in 1963, his assassination in 1968... For extra credit, you can brush up on Henry David Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience, which inspired the Reverend in his nonviolent civil rights campaign. I might add, you might also get involved with Marx and Engels' Communist Manifesto. That would be delightful reading today. Or you can go to a church. This is the second instruction. Go to a church. Martin Luther King's faith helped him persevere through hard times. If the man were alive today, he'd probably be delighted if everyone attended a place of worship in his honor. You can check your local church to see if it's having a special Martin Luther King service. And if you have any kids, bring them along for at least a couple of hours. Odds are they'll learn more about Martin Luther King here than they ever did in school, no doubt, especially if they go to the same church that Barry Satoru went to. Watch a documentary about the civil rights movement. If you are capable, the chances are that at least a few channels will have special programming about Martin Luther King Jr. I'm sure they will, including documentaries about his life and about the civil rights movement in general. Once again, round up your kids and let them see for themselves why this is an important holiday. Throw a party, serve Southern food, play old-time gospel music, and have fun. A birthday, even of someone who lived to see somber and tragic times, is always a cause for celebration. And number five, be respectful. Even today, over 20 years after the government approved the date of his assassination, be respectful. Even today, over 20 years after the government approved the date, there are people who believe that Martin Luther King is somehow not a real holiday. Not only can this be construed as racist, but it doesn't even make sense. It's not as if the official holiday book was permanently closed a century ago. Go to work anyway, even if you prefer, or go shopping. But don't denigrate the occasion, and especially don't do so in front of your children, or they might report you to school if you see something, say something. Well, anyway, that's off of eHow.
Thank you, Will.
I just wondered, there's probably millions of white people today that just don't quite know how to connect with Martin Luther King's birthday.
Well, I know I didn't, but now I know what to do.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that idea about Southern food, but that kind of is racist, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
I know nothing. I say nothing. K-12 education. Governors have tried again, once again, not to reduce the funding for K-12 and instead to achieve greater efficiency with existing resources. Recent efforts include policies to encourage district consolidation, allowing class size to increase, and cutting non-core programs. Well, we know something about those core standards, Vicki.
Well, yeah. The whole movement a few months ago to come up with common standards for the schools is, of course, because they are centralizing the information systems for the students. So rather than the student information to be kept at the state level and to be kept and held privately so that if you're a bad little kid when you're little, you know, nobody needs to know about it. But that won't be true anymore because all the information is going to go up to a centralized database and your entire life is going to be in that file.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things to me about taking tests online is, you know, that you when you're taking a test, one of the ways that I used to be able to do tests quite successfully was to just blow through the test, answer everything you knew immediately, all right? And then you come back and you go to the ones that were the most difficult, if it was a math project or something like that, and do the more difficult problems, get those solved and out of the way, and then you come back and go through the mundanities. But with a computer, of course, a computer would be able to follow all of your mouse clicks and your scrollings and things like that. So they would be able to see what your learning process was and what your test-taking process was, as well as just how well you scored, which ones you actually, I don't know whether they could develop an algorithm. You leave it to the very last and you guess on the last three questions, that sort of a thing. You know, there's a lot that they could be able to discern by watching your performance on a computer.
Yeah, well, and that's just, you know, the quick overview of what they can do. I mean, for every good thing that they can do with a computer, they can do just an incredible amount of evil things, you know, like neuro-linguistic programming. And I've even experienced what I consider to be electronic harassment, you know, with these ads and things.
Well, let's take that for a second and apply it to education, especially education on the computer. Let's say that you come into the class and you sit down to your computer and you log into the thing. This idea of being able to drop in advertisement that actually appeals to that individual, it may very well also be able to give you text material that maybe another student in the class wouldn't have. If you were an advanced student, maybe it would be displaying and bringing in things that were more advanced. If you were a slower student, it would bring in other material. Would there be some anything that you've read about that where it might change the curricula depending on your capacity?
Well, not specifically, but I do know that in this new education system, the assessments are more important than the actual fact. Facts become not important anymore. It's the social conditioning that becomes important. And so even, you know, if you're a really good student, but what they can do with these tests is to make you make value judgments, and then they grade you on those value judgments, and it's in that way that they do the social conditioning to get you to accept the new way of thinking that they want you to think, which in this country happens to be the Marxist consensus group think socialization.
Yeah, moral relativism. I heard over the weekend a very interesting little ditty where someone was saying, you know, well, in this new time, and I thought it was interesting because they used the August Comte quote, but if everything is relative and that is the only absolute, even for the positivist, if the positivist is invoking an absolute because they have established a principle there. So even inside of this moral relativism, where everything is relative and that is the only absolute, there are still absolutes. And the green agenda is one of them. All of the various social programming, that's another one. Cultural diversity, that's another one. The Melting Pot, it's another one. These are absolutes in this new religion, but let's continue. There's lots of bullet points here. Higher education. States are making cuts to higher education funding while urging their university systems to become more efficient. You know more about that than anyone, and raise the percentage of students that graduate. Now, how are you going to become more efficient and raise the percentage of students that graduate, Vicki?
Well, it's not really clear how they're going to do that, except that I do know that they are planning on the universities being the economic engine. And so they are providing ways for new routes of funding for universities, meaning partnering with corporations for research. And a lot of funding is going to universities for research.
Well, we'll pick it up right there, right after this. Stay tuned.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online. Worldwide. At OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again visiting with Vicki Davis, looking at this transformation, this new transformation of state government in bullet point form right out of the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices, a 26-page PDF file talking about education, you know, is we move further and further into computer education as opposed to parents, teachers, and students, you know, we're going to have less and less opportunity or less and less need for the teacher interaction in this. And as I mentioned over the break, Vicki, you know, all you really need is a nurse ratchet and a Colonel Clink, and you could pretty well run a school where all of the young ones, the wee ones, when they're not bouncing basketballs, would be with their noses in a computer, you know? But one of the things that really distresses me about computer learning, you know, we've heard this great flurry lately about, you know, Mark Twain and the writings that he had, Tom Sawyer, you know, we're going to go ahead and just go in and take words out and replace them with something else that the author never wrote or never intended to write. I'm afraid with a computer file, even if there are, with Scribd and others, places where you can go and get the original volume, but for the young people and unaware of that or not even knowing, the information that's contained in these classics and the quotes, you know, you could so easy just to drop a comma here, drop a conjunction there, then change the adjective, then change the modifier, and the next thing you know, you've got the young people coming up with all of this knowledge that has absolutely nothing to do with fact and history.
Right. Well, and let me tell you something that I don't even know if anybody has studied this, but my experience on the computer is that it messes up your timing for life. Because on the computer, I can move at the speed of my mind. You know, in the virtual environment, I can go as fast as my mind will go. When I get off the computer, life moves too slow. Because then I'm moving at people's speed, and it just seems like I'm slogging through mud to do anything, you know, to load the dishwasher, to go to the store to buy groceries. Anything that I have to do that is off the computer becomes a real, really painful for me because it's at people's speed. It's at my speed.
And do you find that, do you find as I do that your desire to do things, you know, like mucking around in the yard or mowing or trimming bushes and things like that, just starts to drop away after you've been in, you know, immersed in this computer world, the cyberspace for long enough? Are you still excited about those sort of things? Do you just get really busy and go after the dust bunnies and whatnot, or are you kind of letting them pile up in the corner like I do?
Hey, I step over papers. I have, my house is such a mess, but it's because I can't, you know, something might happen on the computer and I don't want to miss it. I want to be there, and I have things I have to find out. So my entire personal life is a complete and total disaster.
Exactly.
And that's what they will be doing to these children beginning at age 14. You know, somebody really needs to do a study on this kind of thing. And
Vicki, I think that this study has already been done, and we're living it now. And, you know, you add into this drug use, you know, the psychotropic drugs and the other, you know, they call them the SRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I don't even know what those are. I wouldn't touch them with a stick. But you add into that the use of these various drugs and just, you know, start them out. You know, from the womb right into the computer and off they go, K through, well, pre-K and then right K through 12 and then right into their college years, and they're always on the computer. Is it any wonder that the stuff that's coming out in the guise of legislation, law, and public opinion and media is so obtuse and so removed from common sense and reality?
Right. Well, because the computer becomes your brain. You know, you don't... These children, that they won't even have a chance to develop their own brain, their own thinking ability, because everything will be on the computer for them. You know, I really think that is just such an incredible mistake, you know, to put these computers in the classroom.
Well, I think that, you know, if you started about the time that we were introduced to typing, which was in the eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade, or maybe it was even a freshman in high school, you started learning to type there. If you could start introducing them to basic keyboarding and stuff like that into the high school years, after they've already got a real thorough grasp of reading, writing, arithmetic, history, you know, something about astronomy and things like that, the real world that we live in, you could start perhaps there. But I agree. I think starting too young would be totally wrong.
Yeah. I believe it will cripple the children, actually. It will cripple their abilities to think and to do on their own. And I don't think that this work-based learning, the Soviet polytechnical model of education, is going to be a substitute for for the children actually going through their childhood years and just learning on their own, learning how to think, learning through making mistakes, learning through, you know, the way that people have always done. I really think it's just a terrible mistake to put them on the computer right away.
Well, you know, I don't remember, and correct me if your understanding is different than mine, but it seems to me that by the time that a young person is between 12 or 13 years old, their IQ, if we can even trust that, is pretty well cooked. It's booked right there. And so, you know, to develop their IQ prior to the introduction to the computer might be a better process, simply because we can encourage them to do all that they can with their own mental capacities before they ever start getting involved with artificial intelligence. But let's continue. It says employee costs. States have acted to achieve short-term reductions such as furloughs, layoffs, and other adjustments, but also realize that long-term solutions are necessary. At least 18 states reformed some aspect of their pension systems during 2009 and 2010, including reducing benefits for future employees. So we can understand that, you know, COFRA, CAS, all of that out in California, CalPERS, you know, the pensions and the funding, the compensation for all of the different grades of government employee, they're way, 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 way outside of any realm of reality. But again, that's the reinvention of government. That's what they promised. They would retain the best and the brightest minds by giving the best wages and the best compensation the tax dollars could provide. But now they're starting to cut that back, and there will be, no doubt, consequences. But as you've probably been following on the economic part, folks, I've been sharing with you that not only are the wages frozen and going down, but also the number of hours in the work week are frozen and going down. Almost everybody in America today is working part-time, and when they work part-time, of course, they get no benefits, no vacations, and none of that. And so we're seeing a transition here that is going to make the 40-hour work week look like a blessing as we go further and further into part-time work, seasonal work, the international migration and development agenda, the idea of, well, say, gosh, Vicki, you know, we're just not doing very well economically here. Why don't you and I travel over to India or China and see if we can find a better job?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the idea, isn't it? It seems that all the Indians come over here. All foreigners get jobs over here. We're supposed to go over there and get jobs in kind of a crisscross kind of system that really only makes sense if you're looking at the world labor pool as a commodity and you want to get people out of the habit of thinking that they are attached to some territory. So you have an entirely mobile global labor force.
Now, how are the students in the United States of America ranking somewhere between 20 and 27 or worse in the lineup of all of the student performance in the world? How are they going to compete in the global marketplace if you or I or some young person was to go to China, Beijing, or go to, you know, Phuket, India, and try and get a job? They'd be competing with people that had far better educations, and they might find that they're going to get a chance to be on Johnny Bull detail in Beijing.
Well, the education statistics, like all government statistics, are kind of a fraud, because in other countries, our school statistics include all the children, because all the children go to school in our country. Over in places like India, and I'm not sure about China, but India certainly, only their upper level elite people go to school. And so our entire population of students are statistically being compared to India's elite population that actually does go to school.
Okay, so we're not comparing apples. We're comparing apples to oranges. We're looking at the Brahmin caste and the caste system in India, as opposed to, you know, measuring the results between somebody that went to school in Poughkeepsie as opposed to someone who went to Harvard or Yale or something like that.
That's correct.
Okay, well, we'll pick all that up right on the other side of this break. Fascinating discussion, folks. Stay tuned. Your calls are welcome. 866-841-1065.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And so back into this discussion that we're having with Vicki Davis this morning. Vicki's website is www.channelingreality.com. Vicki, you've got a bunch of new stuff posted up there. You're following some new threads. I'm really looking forward to spending more time tonight and this afternoon going over these links that you've sent to me today. But this has certainly been a potent little bit of a heads up. I went on earlier this morning and I looked for the state of Missouri. And lo and behold, we had legislation passed that goes ahead and opens the door to the implementation of these things. You made a comment last evening with Michael Vail, where, you know, if you want to know where the governor's offices or your governor's brain is, it's right over here. This is a think tank. It has very little to do, you know, with anything that the people in the states might be championing for. This is a global agenda, but shared services and agency consolidation comes up next in the bullet list here. States are consolidating their agencies, sharing services across the departments, and in some cases eliminating programs and entities that are non-essential. We could say, that's great, great news. But is it?
Well, that's the way that they're marketing all of this. Get back to constitutional government. More efficiency. It's going to save money. But what they're going to be doing is transferring sovereignty up to the federal level. Sovereignty over these programs. Now, when you look at common functions, for example, One common function might be the collection of money for permits. And in Idaho, I saw something recently. I was looking at they're planning on building some kind of coal gasification plant, some ridiculous thing that sounds like just a bunch of nonsense to me. But as I was looking at that, I saw something called a generic concrete construction permit. And I was thinking about that. You know, what in the world do you mean by a generic construction permit? Does that mean you're not going to have building designers looking at the plans for your building so you can just build any darn thing you want, any way that you want? And I know that there would be libertarians that would say, yeah, that's what we want. You know, just let the corporations, because they're the ones that are responsible. But the problem is, of course, that corporations never pay for any damages that they do. And so the idea of a generic permit really makes me very queasy.
Well, you know, in the construction aspect of things, now that we have this uniform building code that's coming in, and it's an international, you know, the International Code Council's body of model codes and model acts, with the idea of uniform building codes where every city, every municipality will have in their database the same electronic code system, a generic building or permit could be possible. Why? Well, because all of the architects and all of the engineers, all of your structural, all of your mechanical, all of that, in order to sign off on it, in order to stamp it, it all has to come up to the same code. And so basically the real important thing to a municipality is, how much is the total value of the contract worth? How much is the permit worth? Here's your stamp. Go build it. We'll check with you three times during the project and sign it off. So what that means is that there's going to be fewer plan review people. There's going to be fewer building inspectors out there. And, you know, this is, you know, I'll give you an example, Vicki, of how this actually can work. I was down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, back in about 1980. And I had decided, I looked at all of the brochures that the travel agent had, and I had decided upon the Las Palmas Hotel. And so I arrive at the Las Palmas Hotel, and I check in, and boy, this place just looks nice, and the air smells so great, and I'm waiting for the Mai Tais, the bikini, and the sunburn. And I go up to the room and put my stuff in, you know, hang it up. I'm going to be there for a week and all that. And so I went out and enjoyed the beach and all that, came in, and then decided to take a shower or get ready for breakfast. And I went to plug in my hair dryer, and there was no electricity. My hair dryer didn't work. I thought, well, my God, I've come to a foreign country and electricity doesn't work here. And so I plugged it in another outlet. It didn't work there either. I went around the room plugging in various things. Finally, my curiosity got the best of me, because I know the darn hair dryer worked. And so I took out my pocket knife and I opened up one of the outlets. And even though there was an outlet and a faceplate, Vicki, there were no wires coming into the box.
That's not helpful.
That's uniform building construction. That's sustainable development. That's smart growth and new urbanism on steroids.
Well, yeah, but you know what you get into, though. The problem that you get into with one size fits all is that in some areas like California, where you're living in an earthquake zone, you would have one set of standards today and you know, another set for an area that's really not an earthquake zone. So if you have a one-size-fits-all, then you'll have overbuilding in some locations, and probably not underbuilding, but a lot of money wasted on overbuilding.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it is absolutely, from an architectural and engineering standpoint, it is absolutely impossible to do what is the impossible, and that is to design, plan, and build for everything that the creator of the universe could possibly throw at you. But that is exactly what is the intent of this all-hazard mitigation planning system, and the idea of the culture of safety, the promotion of the safety cult, Agenda 7.59 in Agenda 21. This is exactly what it's all about. The international building codes, model building codes, they want you to be able to withstand a snowstorm, a wind event, a fire, a flood, you know, you name it. All the buildings have to go there. They have to be prepared for that, you know. And so, yeah, it's going to be exceedingly expensive. And what does that mean? That means that mom and pop are going to have to move out of their substandard homes. We've already heard the bad news. The bad news is you won't be able to sell the house unless you could bring it up to code standards. So you won't be able to sell the house. You'll just have to give it back to the county. And then you get to move to a sustainable development, stack them and pack them housing subdivision someplace where all the shops are on the ground floor and you all live above and there are no cars in sight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that too. But let me tell you something else that I found when I was researching the EPA. In the 1990s, when Carol Browner, now this woman is a socialist, she belonged to the World Commission on Sustainable Living or something like that, but it's part of the Socialist International. Anyway, what they did is they set up a project whereby they analyzed car dashboards and all of the materials in the dashboards, including all of the adhesives and all of that, in order to determine what would be like the best practice in terms of building dashboards for cars. Now, to an environmentalist, that might sound really good, but what that ends up doing is having the government push standards onto manufacturers, making everybody's product exactly the same, and what you'll end up with is eventually you'll end up with the Yugo. You know, one tiny little car that's kind of a crap bucket. But it'll be environmentally friendly.
Yes, and I know you go out in the parking lots today, or you're driving on the highway. You know, Vicki, I can't even recognize one from the other. You can't tell the difference between a Mercedes Benz and a Kia. You know, every car in the parking lot looks exactly the same. I'm so thankful that I still drive this old 91 Dodge, because no matter how big or how vast the parking lot is, I can come outside, glance around, and find exactly where it is. But, you know, most of the cars today, they're all just cookie cutter. They all look just the same. It's incredible the amount of difference that you have to pay to buy some of these things. And you're right. The stuff that's going on inside the cars, outside the cars, this is not a free market. It's a managed market. Free trade is not a free trade. It's managed trade. And to have somebody out on the outside coming in and telling all the automobile manufacturers how they all must look. You know, it's like all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same, and no one is going to be different, and everything, it's the collective, and there's no individuality left on the planet.
Right. And let me tell you something else that I found in connection with that. Now, if you're on the inside of government and you're doing this kind of analysis and you say, well, the best practice is that you have to use this one particular kind of glue. Well, you know, to all the people that know about that analysis, if they know that the government is going to require that they use that glue, well, that's really a money-making opportunity, right? Well, what I discovered was that there was a link between a Harvard Institute, one of their government institutes, and Goldman Sachs. One of the ladies involved in that,
we're all out of time, Vicki. Everybody go out there, throw a party, serve some Southern food. We'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
One county,
I'm sorry, everybody.
You've been listening to
I left them hanging.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moroni's called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.8thofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.8thofamerica10.com.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting.